You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
And welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Thank you so much for listening in today. I start with today is a good day, because it is, because we're alive and we're breathing. And let's remember that we're breathing by taking a deep breath. Release. I just want to say thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your emails and your support. I've been doing this for almost a year and a half now, and I love sharing the wealth of information. I love my guests that come on and share. I love the fact that I can tell you about the benefits, the science and the benefits of CBD. I love that I can offer you my consultative services, my coaching services, and just really have the focus of mental health and just being healthy and happy in mind. And so with that, everyone knows I am an advocate and a daily user of CBD. CBD is often mistaken for THC, which is marijuana, but CBD comes from hemp. They're kind of cousins from the hemp plant. And so I just want everyone to know that we're always running specials. The company is Wakana. My website is hemphappier.com. That's hemphappier.com. If you are dealing with chronic pain, anxiety, stress, insomnia, any anti-inflammatory condition, CBD is really a life changer. It is all natural, organic. Again, it comes from the hemp plant, and there are no pesticides, no toxins, no chemicals. It's third-party tested. And make sure you have certificate of analysis that attests to the purity of the product, because all CBD is not created equal. So check out my website, hemphappier.com. Check out more about me, the articles that I write in Fet Lifestyle Magazine. You can find this information on my site. It's healthyminds.expert. Healthyminds.expert. Well, I am so excited about my special guest today. This is a psychologist that she and I trained together. I know a lot of you aren't from Illinois, but in Illinois, we trained together, and this is a wonderful just human being. And I'm so excited that we've reconnected. And so she is here today with me. Her name is Dr. Jo Walthusen, and she is a licensed clinical psychologist with 25 years of experience working in a variety of settings. She currently works in her own private practice and is co-owner of a group private practice, the Long Grove Center. She is the co-host of the YouTube channel, The Coping Cafe. I like that. And is also launching her own podcast and YouTube channel entitled Joy Juice with Dr. Jo. I like that. Joy Juice with Dr. Jo. She's going to be having her own podcast and her own YouTube channel, so you've got to check her out. Dr. Jo loves the areas of positive psychology and the law of attraction and is thrilled to be here today to speak more about it. Welcome, Dr. Jo.
Thank you. Thrilled to be here. I'm so excited to see you.
I know, you too. So let's start with this power of positive intention.
Yes. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's real important. And I was so attracted to the law of attraction. And I'm going to say real quick, a colleague of mine years ago had turned me on to, and I don't know if you're familiar with it. It was it's like a documentary kind of thing called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yes. Yes, that, love it.
Huge mind shift for me. And it talks about quantum physics and the law of attraction, and holy smokes, you can manifest stuff and put things out there. And it's kind of this magical kind of thing, right? And so I say to people, you know, the power of positive intention is being very clear about what you want in your life and putting it out to the universe, because the universe doesn't make a judgment, good or bad. So if you get stuck, and we with our clients, right? You know, like I'm stuck in that negative mindset, that negative story, that loop, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not going to make it. Well, guess what? The universe is going to say, okay, right? You know, it's like that old adage, like if you think you can't do it, well, then you're probably right. So be very clear. And, you know, when I started therapy, doing family therapy, like back a gazillion years ago, I can't believe 25, we don't look old enough to say.
I know, right?
But you know, you can't make a plan for what you don't want, right? So when we used to be in the program, and I worked a lot with adolescents, and, you know, they'd come in and they'd have to set a treatment goal. And we would say, what do you want to accomplish today? So some of them would say things like, you know, a lot of them had substance abuse issues. And they would say, well, I don't want to use today. Well, okay, pause right there. If you don't want to use, what do you want to do, right? Put it in the positive. I want to stay sober. Okay. And that's a little lesson, but so powerful, right? Do you use that a lot too in your practice?
Yeah, absolutely. Because so many people can tell you what they don't like, what they don't want, because that's their past experience.
Huge.
But what about the new future current experience?
And so, like, and again, going back to the therapy examples, I see that, you know, I don't do couples anymore, but with couples, right? And you've seen this, the laundry list of, you know, he doesn't take out the garbage. He doesn't do this. He never does this. Well, then let's start focusing on what he does do, because we want more of the good stuff, right? And in behavioral terms, we want to reinforce that. So being very clear about what you put out there. So important things like the concept of like psycholinguistics, right? How you talk about yourself, okay? Think about this. And I remember having a client, and it was her and her mother, and she was a young adult, 18 years old. And she's saying, you know, she, this negative talk, this self-disparaging, horrible, critical. And I said to her, hold on a second. I said, you've got a little cousin, right? She's got a little cousin who's, you know, 4 or 5 years old. I said, would you tell that cousin, you know, you're terrible, you're stupid. And she went like this, God, no, I would never do that. I go, but you're doing it to yourself every single day. And what does that do to your soul and your psyche, right? So pausing to say, okay, I'm going to choose my words carefully. Have you heard of Louise Hay? You know,
Of course. Of course.
So she had this great metaphor, and I use this with clients all the time. If life is this banquet, right? And the banquets are is thoughts. These are thoughts. Now, are you going to choose the foods that make you sick, that gross you out, that are yucky, that, you know, don't nourish your body? No, of course not. So you're going to choose things that uplift you and that fill you and that feel good and that taste good. Those are the thoughts in your universe. What do you want to focus on? Right. And so these are choices, and we're all about, my big thing in therapy is empowering you, you know?
Exactly.
Right. And you exert a huge, and I'm not a Pollyanna. I say this to clients all the time. I'm not like everything's Disneyland and rainbows. Life isn't like that. Okay. But it's so much of what you focus on and the lens you look through it, right? Yeah.
And that's why I think, you know, Dr. Joe Vitale has this book called Money, Love, Speed that I absolutely love. And I was so blessed to have interviewed him on my show. And one of the things he talks about is playing the glad game, because even though things happen to us and we're always going to be in different situations and circumstances that challenge us, he talks about looking for the glad in the situation.
Absolutely.
You know, what is it about the situation that we can be glad about? What is in the situation? Can we say, you know, that was a learning lesson, or that was the good in the situation? And I think more people have to focus on what's good or glad about it, as opposed to what's not.
Right. So the situation is what it is. And it goes back to basic principles of the law of attraction, gratitude. And I have clients, and I've been doing this practice myself, gratitude journal every single night. And this is what I have people start with. three things that are either positive, you're grateful for, or appreciative of. And I'm going to tell you a little story. We all get in our little, you know, bummer days, or, you know, one day, whatever it was, I was on the pity pot, and this is a true story. And I remember going to my neighborhood, and you know how like sometimes you don't notice something, and then when you notice it, like a yellow Volkswagen, then you see them all over the place, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this woman comes by, and I'm on the pity pot for whatever reason, and she has no arms. Like no arms. The woman has no arms. Then I start seeing her all the time. And I see her and she's walking a dog. And then I see her and she's got this boy, a son, maybe 6 years old, and she's riding this recumbent bike while he's riding a bike. And I go, holy smokes. So on the bad days, maybe I'm just grateful for having my limbs, because I can't even imagine, right? And so that helped me to say that was a gift to me, you know. And on some days you got to dig a little deeper, right? And I like what you said too. This is one of my thoughts on just life in general. I feel like it is, it's a school, right? And all my spiritual, you know, education and talking with people, and it's about learning lessons. And then you can graduate to the next level. And it's not about if you're going to have, you know, lessons to learn or adversity, because you will, because no one gets out unscathed. But I feel like the bigger the adversity, and we've all had it in our lives, right? The bigger the potential lesson. What do you want to get out of that? So if you have an adversity in your life and you're confronted with it, do you want to, and I've seen this with people, they get stuck, bitter, angry, right? And it's a broken record. Or do you want to say, okay, got it, whatever it's supposed to tell me, right? You know, like women, if they keep dating abusive, jerky guys, what is the universe trying to tell you? And now we could do different moving forward. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And it's true what you're saying, that, you know, if you don't learn the lesson, you repeat it.
Absolutely.
You know, you repeat it, because then you're not necessarily aware of what you were putting out, or what you, you know, what you have to tweak. And that's the thing. I really wish we could eliminate this idea of perfection. Oh. Because it's preposterous to think that you're a spiritual being having a physical experience in this physical earth, and to think that you're going to get it 100% right every day, all day. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I always, you know, I love you saying that. I love spiritual beings on a human journey, right?
You know? Yes.
Love that. I love that quote. But perfection's a joy killer. Okay.
It sure is.
Out of your life. Tell you how many awesome people and awesome women I deal with who it's just, man, you're setting yourself up if you get into that perfection or the comparison mode.
Oh my God. That's the worst. We're always going to compare yourself to someone who you perceive is better. I'm like, why don't you compare yourself to someone who's homeless?
Oh, well, I always say there's always going to be somebody richer, better, prettier, whatever, or conversely, poorer, not as attractive. I go, so right. You be the best version of you, because this is your life journey. Stay in your lane and work on you, because none of that stuff you've got control over, right?
Yeah.
None of it. So absolutely. And I love this thing that I do a lot with my clients is the serenity prayer. Okay.
Oh, yes.
I do the Dr. Joe version, but God grant me the courage and strength to change the things I can. That's empowering, right? Acceptance for the things I can't, wisdom to know the difference. And especially like when we deal with people with, you know, I always say like fears and anxiety, irrational versus rational. And so much of what we deal with the panic attacks and anxiety disorders are irrational fears. Okay. So if we can get to that and say, wait, I have no control over that. I'm not going to waste my energy, right? In that piece, what do I have control? That's empowering. Yeah. I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I heard this about, I always tell people, you know, when you say be the best version of you, I always tell people there's only one you in this world.
Absolutely.
There's only one you. So authentically being you is your best bet, because there's no one else like you. Bank on yourself. And there's this analogy about, how do you know the difference between a real diamond and a fake diamond? Well, the fake diamond is flawless, and the real diamond has flaws, but it's so perfect in all of its imperfections.
What is that practice? It's an Asian practice where, like, if beautiful china or, you know, vases, glassware breaks, they put gold and like meld it back together. I'm totally butchering this. It's a practice, but they look at the imperfections as artwork and beauty. And so, like, wear your scars like badges, you know? And again, each of those were learning experiences. So if we reframe that to say, it's not if I'm going to fail, that's part of the process.
Exactly.
Right?
And we need to get rid of this word failure. I always say fail means first attempt in learning. First attempt in learning. That means that you're doing something new and you're going to get better at it. You didn't get on the bike and learn how to ride it the first time. So give yourself some grace and some compassion.
Yeah, I say that all the time. You don't remember this, but you didn't run out of the womb. You know what I mean? Like, there's a process there, and then you crawled and then you stumbled. And so this is part of that life process. I think Michael Jordan said, like, you're going to miss 100% of the shots that you don't make, right? So you need to, and it's part of, and I love Brene Brown's stuff, right? Vulnerability. You need to risk that. There is no growth without change, right? You need to push outside that comfort zone. And I have this saying in my office, you know, I butcher sayings all the time, but life begins at the end of your comfort zone, right?
Wow.
So many people who are stuck in that because it's safety, but you're not growing if you don't push past that, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I love Will Smith. Like, I love him. I love his energy. I think he's just this cool, nice guy. You know, he projects that. But he said, like, he was in an interview and they interviewed him and they said, oh, you seem so fearless. Like, you're not afraid of anything. He goes, oh my God. He goes, I'm afraid of so many things. He goes, but I challenge myself every single day. Right. Yeah.
And that's really where the beauty in life is, because the fear is just a perception. See, once you say, I'm going to move past it, it disappears and it's no longer there. And that happens all the time with the patients that I work with anxiety. It's like, once they've moved past it, it was like, well, what happened to that fear of getting in the cars? I don't know. Well, you decided that you weren't going to be afraid of it anymore and you were going to push through it.
I think it's in the doing. And the metaphor I give, I love this movie when my kids were little, Monsters, Inc., and the monster in the closet. And I think fear is like that, because the more you feed into it, right? Like, and avoidance maintains anxiety. Okay. So the more I go, oh my God, the boogeyman, I can't go in there. I can't. You're feeding it. And instead, let's open that door. And like in the cartoon, it's like a little pipsqueak coming out, right? I can live with the discomfort. And through that, I'm going to grow and I'm going to grow stronger. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. So the positive psychology and really changing the way that people think about their life, about their journey, about their growth. I feel like oftentimes I have to sell my patients on it, because I will tell them, look, you have control. You have an option. You can choose a different way to think, choose a different way to focus. And sometimes people don't believe that. Do you ever have that, where people don't believe that they can actually change how they think and change how they feel and change their life, their experience of themselves?
Well, so I when you were saying that, I made a mental note here. There's an author I love, Martha Beck, and she's like an Oprah guru. She's amazing. It's like when I say, like, girl crush on Martha, like, I am not worthy. She's awesome. And she wrote a phenomenal book called Steering by Starlight. And I recommend that a lot to clients. But in it, she gives this analogy of being in, it's where people get stuck, right? And she says, it's like being in this ring of fire. And it's being in, like, if you're in a dysfunctional relationship or a toxic work environment. And why do people stay? We see that, right? I could give you countless stories of people, years that they'll be in these things. Why don't they get out? And she said, it's like the devil we know is often better than the devil you don't know. And this is a hell I'm familiar with. That's scary. Even though if you get out of the ring of fire, and I love this analogy because it's so perfect. And I remember talking about this, like, with a guy who was contemplating divorce, and it was a real unhappy marriage. And it was time to leave. And I said, that's the ring of fire. And that takes courage, right? And it burns. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not telling you, oh, not a problem. It's going to be hard, but then there's life on the other side. And it's going through that ring of fire. So yes, if you could get them to motivate that change, right? And that willingness to go and do that process, for sure.
Yeah. It's not as easy though, because I think that people are still stuck in the old way of thinking about mind-body connection. Like they don't see the mind as controlling the body. They still see it as separate. And so when I tell someone that we know now with neuroplasticity that if you form new foundations of thinking and feeling, it changes your chemistry. It changes your biology. And again, a lot of people have this idea that they can't change. This is just how it is. They've just got it. You know, they were dealt a bad hand in life and this is what they have to accept. And when I offer them an alternative to that, oftentimes it's difficult for them to receive. Do you have that?
Yes. Well, so the thing is, and like when people come in, I say, okay, so how many years has this been going up? Right. You know, whatever it is, it's an unhealthy marriage or, you know, bad habits that they're doing. It's years in the making. And I tell them it's not going to change overnight. And I think our Western culture, you know, in particular, we want instant gratification, right? We want the pill. We want to have it change. You got to be patient. And this is a process, right? And so the bad stuff didn't happen overnight. It's not going to get better overnight. You just got to be willing to try something different. Right. And I think that's why therapy is so awesome is you're going to guide them through, you're along in that journey. They don't have to be alone in this, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And celebrate your successes along the way. So I say to people, even if it's this much, it's still progress, right? We can't downplay that. Whatever it is, if it's a weight loss goal, if it's, you know, stopping smoking, if it's, you know, better communication with your spouse, whatever it is, this much is still progress. We still need to celebrate that.
And that's why I'm so big on small daily steps. And this is, you know, my coach, Constance Arnold, always says, you know, small steps are what makes big change. So anything that you can do small, daily, consistently, over time is going to make big change.
Completely. I think is it Martin Luther King who said, you don't have to look at the whole staircase. You can take one step at a time.
One at a time.
You know, and this really goofy saying, you don't eat the whole elephant at once. So it's so funny. I got to tell you, I used that in therapy once with a man who was very depressed. And I said, well, there's this goofy saying. Well, I said to him, well, who would want to eat an elephant anyway, right? I use humor a lot. And he goes, well, actually, he used to live in Africa. And he was, I did eat an elephant. That's what I'm talking about. My point is, you're saying, I love that. Like things feel insurmountable. You got to break it down. It's every journey begins with one step and then you're there. Think about the things you've accomplished in your life. Think about, like, remember grad school, all the hoops. You got to pass this certification. You got to pass licensure. You got to do these many hours. It seems overwhelming, but you're here. You did it, right?
Exactly. So it's really, and like you said, something so small is getting up and writing three things that you're grateful for. Just to shift your mindset in the morning or before you go to bed, three things that happen in your day that you can say you're glad about or that you're grateful for.
So go to the neuroplasticity. Okay. This is reframing. So like, if you think of that neuronal network, right. And so, Dr. Joe Dispenza would say, neurons fire together, wire together. So the more you do any behavior, and that includes that negative mindset, the more you're reinforcing that. Right. So we want to get some new, connections, and that's going to take time. That's going to take time. Yeah,
it's a foundation, but I also believe in the power of meditation, and so yeah. I don't know if you use that or you use that with your clients, but that's another thing that I'm big on because we have to stop. We're so inundated by so many sensory you know, information and input, that can pretty much drive how we think, how we feel, how we act. But when you get quiet with yourself, you become more intentional in how you want to think, how you want to feel, what you want to do.
100%. And from the spiritual, you know, teachings that I've looked at, that's the only way to connect with our higher self, right? And to hear whatever your belief system, God, spirit, universe, you know, to come through is to get off that rat race, that treadmill, right? And it's hard. And again, for our Western culture, and I get it. Like if you told me, go sit in a corner and just say home for a half hour, I'd be like, should I have pizza for dinner? Yeah, I got to get that load of laundry in, right? It's so hard, but there's so many tools now. Like look at there's Insight Timer, Breathe, like all of these awesome apps, guided meditation, a couple other things. Like someone told me about a candle, a flame meditation. You could do that. There's also labyrinths. There's handheld labyrinths that you could do. It's kind of like if you believe in the rosary, whatever it is to get your mind off of that constant chatterbox, for sure. You know,
I love that. Those are some great tools and techniques that my listeners can use to really help them hone in when they want to be peaceful and be still.
And I say to people, start slow, do it 5 minutes, you know, a couple times a week. I don't care what you do. The practice is, and it's not one and done. It's not brushing your teeth. You don't say, I did it twice this year, I'm good. Like, this is an ongoing process. But again, be patient with yourself. Have fun. 5 minutes. I don't care, you know, but it's going to, and here's the research consistently shows it's good. Like it increases that smart, you know, part of the brain, right? The gray matter, it decreases blood pressure. It's, you know, just sense of well-being. I mean, all of these things, the jury is in, it's good.
It's good for you. All right. So we've got about 3.5 minutes, Dr. Joe. Any last words of wisdom for my listeners? And then tell them how they can connect with you so that they can hear more about what you've got going on.
Sure. So I say explore this stuff. Like we've dropped a lot of different names. Start Googling this. You know, law of attraction, it's a super cool, amazing, and it's just empowering, you know. And baby steps, right? Don't expect quantum changes overnight, but just have fun with the process. That's what I say. And I'm all about with that fun is finding your joy juice. So I'm going to be starting my own channel, Joy Juice with Dr. Joe. And I want to have you as a guest, by the way.
Yes, yes, I would love to.
So, and my website is drjoewalthusen.com. And the Coping Cafe, we're on YouTube too. So we have a couple of those up there. So check those out.
I love those. I love those. And I just have to say, you are so beautiful. And I love reconnecting with you. I love having you on my show. And it's so interesting, listeners out there, that, you know, this week I had a guest that was supposed to come on and at the last minute canceled because they weren't feeling well. And out of nowhere, Dr. Joe reaches out to me and it was like, perfect. And so it is meant to be. And I just want you guys to trust that even when you don't know the next step, even when you don't know what to do and what the right decision is, if you would just trust that the energy, whatever energy out of the in this universe is out there, it is always operating and working out for your highest good, no matter what. And so here, you know, we connected and you were exactly who was supposed to be on my show this week. And it has been such a blessing to reconnect with you. And I'm so excited about your future and what you're doing for your podcast, your YouTube channel, and just continuing to put the work out there, because people need what we have, and we have a lot of wealth of experience and knowledge, and it's power.
It is. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.